Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of the book, The Christmas Code. But first, here's his message, Unstoppable.
I want to invite you now to take God's word and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts is such an important passage of scripture, book in God's word, because it connects what happens in the Gospels to the rest of the New Testament, which is a description and a definition of the Christian faith. But if we did not have the book of Acts, we would not know what happened between the resurrection and the rest of the story. And so the same author of the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke, gave us a continuation of the story in the book of Acts. What Jesus did and now what Jesus is doing through his local body, his eternal body, the church. And it describes an unstoppable church. Just as Jesus rose from the dead and defeated death, hell, and the grave, God's church has now risen to accept the assignment of Christ, the mission of Christ, to go into all the world and preach and teach this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't want just to talk about what happened 2,000 years ago. That's the original, that's the classic church. But the good news is the same Spirit filling and infusing his church then is with us now. And in my estimation, we are living in the greatest era in the history of the church of Jesus Christ. For one thing, we're nearer to the return of Christ than ever before. And yes, the risen Christ is coming again. And we are closer than we've ever been. And many of the signs point to the fulfillment of the promise of the soon return of Christ. But we have so many opportunities. We have so many open doors. As the scripture says, God has opened a door unto us, unprecedented opportunity. The question is, will we seize the opportunities that God has given us as his church in this generation and be an unstoppable force for God, for good, for the gospel in our own times? I pray that we will. So God laid down the blueprint for building his church. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. My church will be unstoppable. We will prevail. And so he gave us the priorities, he gave us the pattern, the DNA, if you will, of the blood-bought church of Christ. And we find that in Acts chapter 2, in the aftermath of the resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, this is what happened. And they, speaking of the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing them to the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily, or day by day, those who were being saved. Three simple priorities, action words, all of them, that describe who we are and what we're to be about is the church of Jesus Christ, if we're to be an unstoppable church. First word is believing. We are believing. We are more than a religious club. We're not just people who decide to get together because we like each other or because we have common interest. We are together in Christ and triumphant in Christ because we believe certain truths. Now, the Apostle Peter lays out these truths. If you'll note there in the second chapter at the end when the church is gathering, they stayed together in the apostles' teaching. the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. We don't have to wonder what that teaching was about. Of course, it was the message of the gospel. Just flip back a passage or two to that same second chapter of Acts, and you'll see what this message is. But Peter's standing with the 11. I like that. He didn't get him a little cool stool and light a candle and just talk. He stood and squared up his shoulders. Now remember, this is the same Simon Peter who cowered at the cross, who fled because he denied Jesus, but now restored, now filled with the Holy Spirit. He is ignited with spiritual power and passion. And so in the face, against all odds, in the face of those who had even crucified Christ or turned him over to those who did crucify him, he says, "Now listen to me. Let this be known to you." I tell preachers, and when you stand to preach, you do so with authority, not your own personal authority, but the authority and the anointing of God Himself. That anointing is simply put in the book of Acts. In a few pages, we're told that we are witnesses of these things. This is chapter 5, verse 32. We are witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. You want to know what the anointing of the Holy Spirit is? There it is. We are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. These are not words. This is a witness of the gospel. And the Spirit of God empowers us. So there is a sense of authority. The leadership of the church is being established. At this point, apostles, ultimately pastors and teachers and elders would be assigned, and deacons would be given the responsibility of leading and serving the church. But at this point, the apostles, with this man, Simon Peter, fronting the rest of them. Notice he stood in the midst of all of them. They no doubt were all witnessing of the resurrection and the power of Christ. But Simon Peter wasn't, a man saying up, "Well, I hope so, I think so, I may be so, this could be, or it seems to me." But listen to me. This is not an egomaniac. This is not an arrogant somebody standing there forcing attention upon himself, but he stands and he proclaims Christ and the gospel. And when you read this very first sermon of the church, it is a Christ-centered gospel message. He describes the death of Christ, crucified for our sins, and his resurrection, that Christ is alive. And then he demanded with an invitation that people respond, that we respond with a repentance. And that is to affirm the fact that we have sinned against God and broken God's commandments, and we need to be forgiven. And then that the cross forgives us and the resurrection gives us new life. So we affirm the resurrection, that we believe in Christ, and then we accept, as Peter would say, receive the gift of the Spirit. This is not just adopting a religion, but accepting a living Lord into your life. So the people of the church, first and foremost, were saved people. Now you would think that would be a duh, but the fact is that there are multitudes of people in churches who are not saved, who joined the church, accepted their parents' religion, decided to meet new friends, got involved in a program. Maybe we're baptized, but are not saved. Some are listening to me right now. You don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's what's wrong with many churches today, filled up with people who don't know Christ. May God help us to trust in Him and to know Him. But something happened beyond their original conversion. And that's when we read there in Acts chapter 2 at verse 42, "And they devoted themselves." That's a key word. They devoted themselves. It means they were passionate about something. They were totally committed to do something. They were steadfast and faithful in one thing. And that was the teaching and the preaching and the living of God's word. They couldn't wait. They had an appetite for God's word. The mark of a genuine believer, the mark of a genuine Christian, is someone who continues in the faith. John the apostle addressed this very issue in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, I believe. He said, "They went out from us," talking about some who had abandoned the church and walked away from their responsibility. He said, "They went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that it might be made evident that they were not with us at the beginning." They continued because they genuinely knew Christ. Couldn't wait to get under the teaching and the preaching of God's word. Nobody had to beg them or entertain them. It was the solid teaching, preaching of the gospel.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Unstoppable. Slow down and soak up the sacred meaning that's at the heart of the holiday season with Dr. O.S. Hawkins' 25-day Christmas devotional, The Christmas Code. You'll see the birth of Jesus with fresh eyes as you take time to rest and rejoice in what really makes this season so special. The Christmas Code is our way to thank you for your gift to PowerPoint. So call today to get your copy of The Christmas Code when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Unstoppable.
They were believing together. But not only that, they were belonging together. Did you notice that back in Acts chapter 2? It says, they believed together, verse 44. They were together and they had all things in common. They were together. How did they get together? Well, for one thing, when they were saved, they were baptized. Acts 2:38, Peter preached, giving the invitation that a person should follow Christ and then in obedience because of eternal life and salvation be baptized as a testimony of faith in Christ. Baptism is the outward evidence of the inward experience of knowing Christ. This is why we baptize people here who are believers. Not like, you know, just kind of Dunkin' Donuts a little bit, but immersion, as the New Testament teaches, signifying the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Baptism is by immersion only for believers only. And when you are baptized, you're not baptized just in water, in thin air. You're baptized into the faith and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, into His church. The church is established by these ordinances. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, once again, it mentions there the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread is no doubt indicative of the Lord's Supper, the communion supper. So you have two ordinances of the church: baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper being an illustration of the body and the blood of our Lord given for us. And we're to do this as often as we do it in remembrance of Him. Now, there's something important to remember in the ordinances of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. These are to take place within the life and the heart and the authority of the local church. Just to take somebody out here in the river on your own and baptize them, that doesn't work. That's not New Testament baptism. It's always in the context of the local church. Lord's Supper, same way. I mean, you can go drink some grape juice and eat some crackers and call that the Lord's Supper, but the Lord's Supper is in the context, in the commonality, in the commitment together of the local church. You see, in its embryonic form, All the DNA is being placed into the church so that we would know how to do what Christ wants us to do. The baby church, the infant church, everything that we read about in the infant church was a pattern for the maturing of the church and the growing of the church. What we see in the book of Acts is a beautiful illustration and example for us in the church in our own generation. We just preach the gospel, be God's church. You know, I like to say you don't need to add or subtract from the gospel. You don't need to soft pedal the gospel. You don't need to, you know, make the gospel. You don't need to make it hard or make it soft. Just preach the gospel and stand back in the power of God's Spirit and watch God work. The gospel, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and a salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So you see, they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they were believing together. And then they were belonging together. They sold their possessions to support one another. They were keeping the command of Christ to love one another. And they gave themselves unconditionally to one another. They made sure that everyone, if you had a need, your need was met. And I just love the fact that they were belonging together in spite of the fact that they had come already from many countries there for the day of Pentecost, some longtime residents of Jerusalem. They came from different backgrounds, different ages. There's a kind of new wave of church today which says what we need to do is to find our little niche market and figure out what age group we're going to go after. And you know, if you, well, we're going to do a 20-something church, we're going to do a Gen X church, or we're going to do a millennial church, or we're going to do a cowboy church or something like that. And I'm not against venues for the church, but let me tell you what I believe. I believe the church of Jesus Christ is cross-generational. I believe the church is for every generation. We are together for one reason. God has given us a fellowship. They continued together, belonging together in a fellowship. Now, that's not cookies after church. Fellowship is the common life, the common Lord, the common love that we share together. And though we are very, very different in many ways, what brings us together in unity, not uniformity, but unity, what brings us together is our love for Christ and the Spirit of God that draws us together. I love that Peanuts cartoon that when Linus is watching television and Lucy comes in. Lucy says, "Change the channel, Linus." I said, "Well, why should I do that?" She says, "I'll give you five reasons." 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, individually, they're not much, but together, they can do something awesome. Now, he changed the channel. Just imagine if we got together. The Church of Jesus Christ across this country, across the world, would get together. The difference that we could make for Christ. We're believing together. We're belonging together. I want to say we're battling together because we are. When you read the book of Acts, we discover that Satan opposed the church, but they stood boldly. We should never be intimidated by the powers of evil because the power of God is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are in a spiritual battle. It is insidious and it is invisible, but it is powerful. It is real. We have a powerful foe, but greater is our God than any opposition that we face. We're battling together. Stay in the battle, Christian. Because when we do, we are becoming together the church of Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice what happened. Acts chapter 2 tells us in verse 41, "So those who received the word were baptized, and there were added to this day about 3,000 souls." What were they added to? The church, there were 3,000. It started with 120. The Spirit came down. The church went out and the lost began to come in. And notice what began to happen later on. Turn over to Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. More are added. Now, it's a multitude. Check out over in chapter 5 and verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. They accused them of saturating the entire city with the gospel. They captured that city with the gospel. They started with their neighbors. They went to the nations. Persecution fires began to flame. The church spread out. It was unstoppable. They tried to stamp it out with persecution and martyrdom. Church is unstoppable. Why? We have a living Lord. We have a living Savior who is in us, and therefore we are unstoppable. Someone gave what I'm about to give you years ago. The author is really unknown, but whoever wrote it for us. Listen, I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast, the decision has been made. I've stepped over the line. I am a disciple of His, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, or back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living and sight walking and small planning and smooth knees and colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence or prosperity or position or plaudits of popularity. I don't have to fight, or I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first or tops or recognized or praised or regarded or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk with patience, live by prayer, and labor by the Holy Spirit's power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go till He comes, give until I drop, preach until till all know, and work until He stops me. My banner is clear. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Unstoppable. As you prepare for Christmas, we want to help make sure you don't miss a moment of what God wants to say to you. Slow down and soak up the sacred meaning that's at the heart of the holiday season with Dr. O.S. Hawkins' 25-day Christmas devotional, The Christmas Code. Dr. O.S. Hawkins is a longtime friend of Dr. Graham, and the two have often collaborated in the work of the gospel, encouraging each other in both life and ministry. And in The Christmas Code, Dr. Hawkins helps you encounter the birth of Jesus with fresh eyes and rejoice in what really makes this season so special. The Christmas Code is our special thanks for your gift to help boldly proclaim God's Word through PowerPoint. So request your copy when you call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
When I look at the church in the New Testament, I really see a church that was unstoppable, relentless in the pursuit of the glory of God,
by sharing the gospel of Christ around the world. And it truly is amazing when you read the book of Acts, when you read the stories of Scripture, those early years of the church, the vibrancy, the relevancy, the dynamic of that church, filled with the Spirit of God. Right now, we are living in another time, another epoch in history that really is one of the greatest times to preach the gospel that I've ever seen. With the use of technology, with the opportunities that we have with media, whether it be radio, television, online, every means that we have, we should be sharing the gospel of Christ right here, right now. And so I believe that because the time is near, that when Christ comes again, it's like the end of a ball game, the urgency in a football game. For example, you have the two-minute warning, and everything picks up, the pace picks up. So should we be picking up the pace right now and getting the message of Christ to as many people as we can. That's what I'm talking about when I say that the church is unstoppable. When we believe together, when we're strong in our faith, believing the gospel, the testimony of Christ, the word of God, when we belong together, when we are bonded together in Christ-like love, when we are in unity, committed together, communing together in Christ, when we are battling together against the enemy and winning victory after victory, this means that we are unstoppable. And the only reason we're unstoppable is because the Spirit of God has given us victory in Christ every single day. I want to encourage you to be a part of the conversation and the connection here at PowerPoint by joining me on Twitter or Facebook and on jackgraham.org. I love connecting through Twitter. My address is Jack N. Graham. So look forward to getting to know you better. Our Facebook and jackgraham.org is also an opportunity for you to connect with us and for us to connect with you. The PowerPoint family loves you. We want to pray with you and for your loved ones and friends. So please send us a note as to how we can pray for you. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you a copy of the book Christmas Code as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627, 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join Dr. Graham next time as he brings a message about passing our faith to others. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.